League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. I project because I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be talking to you guys, along with my good friend Nick Sciarra, as we give you a chance to be benefiting from listening to the box. Therefore, let's start with giveaway number one of two this hour. That's right. Keep your ear to the speaker and your dial where it's at, because you're going to have a chance to win some things. Let's do it right now. Win a four-pack of tickets to see Kevin Fowler this Friday, July 2nd, at Lagoon Fest, Texas. You and three friends also win an afternoon pass to the Lagoon. So come early and take a dip in the Lagoon before the concert. Lagoon Fest, Texas, the largest lagoon in Texas, is located in beautiful Texas City. The summer concert series is just kicking off, so keep listening to win tickets to other shows all summer long. We'll take caller 10 right now, 713-780-3776. Caller 10, 713-780-ESPN. And if you want to see a list of the other concerts that will be coming up and how to get tickets, go to LagoonFestTickets.com. Good luck. You jamming to this?
I mean, he seems like he's got a decent voice and everything. I'm not incredibly familiar with him. Maybe there is a song or two. But this is one of his songs, Hard Man to Love.
It's a story of your life. You tapping your toe right now?
A little bit.
Thinking about how to put your two steps in motion?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Little bit. We got another.
You think it's still true that if you played country music backwards, you get your dog back, your job back, your car back, and your girl back?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, all these songs, Nick, it's about heartbreak and giveaway and getting drunk. And
see, that's the thing. You know, that was the knock on hip-hop for the longest time, right? Oh, they don't want to talk about heartbreak and emotion. And then, like, the new era came around, and they're basically being called soft for talking about their heartbreak and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And I feel like it's okay to talk about your emotions and talk about how you're a hard man to love.
Where are your emotions on your Houston Astros, who have lost three in a row, Nicholas?
You know what? They're going to be fine. The lineup just came out.
Okay.
Just saw it tweeted.
Okay.
They're going to kick ass. They're not going to play down to their competition. And they're just going to destroy who's ever in front of them. Okay. That's what they're going to do.
You're fired up about it. You
believe Altuve, Brantley, Gurriel, Alvarez, Correa, Kyle Tucker, Robel Garcia at 7, Miles Straw, Jason Castro at 9.
So the machete sits down and Toro gives way to Garcia.
Yes.
Behind another Luis Garcia on the mound tonight, looking to be the stopper to end the three-game skid. And it is a short homestand, just this one series against the Orioles. So they're going to save face and try and get a victory before they head back on the road. They wrap up the pre-All-Star break portion of the schedule with the Indians, the Yankees, and the A's, as it'll be interesting as it all plays out between now and the break with when Bregman comes back. What is the significance of the injury last night to Urquidy, which, as Nick mentioned, we are waiting on the results of tests that he was going to be taking today.
Yeah, I don't see anything on that yet.
So we will keep an eye on that and try and get it to you if we get it before the show ends. But as good as it was winning 11 straight, you were supposed to get fat and happy on the Tigers and the Orioles, and it hasn't happened that way.
No. But it should change. I think it should change. It'll eventually turn around. I mean, this lineup doesn't look as scary, but look, the fact that you have two guys out the lineup, and let's be real, Maldonado is really not that good. We all know why he's in the lineup, and I understand that. But when you do, those are the two least sexy names on the lineup. It's Castro and Robel Garcia. Every other person on that lineup you should be comfortable with. Like, literally, even Kyle Tucker, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not worried. Okay, my bigger thing, as you know, is the pressing concerns about the bullpen. But what I am saying is that as good as they've been against teams above 500 this year, this was a way to change the other narrative that people were pointing at, which is you don't play well against, you play down to the level of your competition. You don't play well against those bad teams. And you know that early in the year when they were trying to figure stuff out and Straw wasn't hitting like he was hitting and they had other issues, they were struggling and they got swept by the Rangers and they got swept by the Tigers. But now that they were kicking ass, you figured, well, God, if they're doing this well, even with a bad bullpen against the Padres and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and all those teams, can't wait to just get right against all these bad teams, and then they don't do it.
Yeah, that's no good. That's no good. But they'll bounce back away from that. I genuinely believe that.
It's going to be – tonight's a big game for them simply because I want them to leave the homestand with a good feeling so that when they go out on the road, they're prepared. Because the Indians are an above 500 team. And then, like I said, then you get the A's and the Yankees, and they're both above 500. Yeah, the Yankees have been scuffling, but you know that those games against the A's count double because they're in your division, and
correct,
because right now you still have a slim lead. So you got to capitalize. You got to pounce. And with Urquidy being out, now whether you like it or not, your six-man rotation is going to be squeezed down to five, but your bullpen is more compromised because now, assuming that Javier is a guy that steps up and probably gets starts now, he's not going to be your long reliever in your bullpen, and he gives you one less reliable arm that you can go to if you're dusty.
So we'll just have to wait for the update on Urquidy and see how they handle the rotation after that and then go from there. I know a lot of those names in the bullpen do not get you too excited, but hopefully James Click addresses it. He did say minor league prospects, all of them are going to be talked about in terms of being traded. I think that's a good sign, you know. The other thing that he mentioned that I didn't talk about was the fact that I think he was asked Sean Salisbury. He was asked, He was asked whether or not Dusty would manage past this season, and they said they haven't had that conversation. Do you think Dusty should be the manager next season?
Look, again, I go back to the Cuban analogy. Are you going to find someone better? Because if you can't find me someone better that the players relate to more, that maybe gets more out of the decision-making that sometimes we scrutinize Dusty for, then I'm fine with Dusty Baker. I just think that I had reservations with him coming in. And then with that first season, granted it being COVID-related,
right,
they were a 500 team. And then I thought, well, then Dusty's not the guy. But the run that they made in the playoffs, the way they came together, the way everybody had each other's backs, and then the way they've played this season with so much scrutiny with fans back in the stands and people still worrying about the cheating scandal, he's handled so much of it so well. I'm fine if they go back to him.
I am of the belief that the grief that they get from other teams and other fan bases is still relevant right now, particularly because to the scandal with all the sticky tack, completely different situation, only on pitchers, but still it's another cheating scandal in the sport. So I think as long as those things are still looming and teams and players and fan bases are still going at the fan base, I think Dusty is the right guy. Now, I think you should say, Nick, Dusty should be the right guy if you think he's the best manager for the team and can win a World Series. I think you got pretty much as good as you can get right now in terms of managers in the World Series. I mean, you really believe that another manager is going to do better than Dusty? Maybe. That's really hard to it's impossible to predict. You don't know because you don't know. But I think with everything still looming and the fact that Major League Baseball is still dealing with a bunch of cheating scandals, moving away from Dusty to me is not the right move right now.
No,
don't give him a long contract. Don't give him a long contract. Give him another 1 or 2 year deal.
Yeah, I'm with that. His age factors in, and the fact that when you hired James Click, I think that there was a wink, wink in that, hey, we're going to let Dusty get through 2 years to kind of overcome this scandal, as you mentioned, and then you're going to be able to pick your own guy, which every general manager wants to do. As much as he didn't pick Dusty and Dusty didn't pick him, it seems like it's worked so far. So I think that you might be hard-pressed to find someone better to handle everything as level-headed as Dusty has. Can you scrutinize some of the moves he's made? Sure. Can you, from his pitching decisions and his security blankets in the bullpen to resting guys when you're rolling, those are kind of things that, as in any manager, you can point a finger at. But overall, is the team winning? Did anybody see this team having the best record in the American League and the second best record in baseball at the end of June? I don't think anyone could say yes to that with a rational baseball mind. So he's doing his job. Now, James Click, you got to do yours, because it's not just the bullpen this season, but do you feel like going forward next year you're going to have the same caliber of team with the same potential to win? Because if you are, that means you got your hands full with the Correa deal. Because as much as we thought Correa's not worth more than what they offered him so far, now we're only halfway through the season, exactly halfway through the season, but so far he's now hitting over 300. He's now putting up good numbers. If he can consistently finish the year where he's at halfway in, you're going to have a real tough decision on your hands, because now he's kind of proven, at least for 1 year, that he's worth more than you offered him. Will you go higher, or will you let him walk? And if you walk, how are you going to replace him? How much money are you going to spend, and how much will it affect this team's ability to stay relevant as a championship contender?
I would be okay with them going a little bit higher. I just don't get that vibe from the front office.
I don't either.
I would a little bit higher. Like, make it, sweeten up the deal just because you're Carlos Correa and, you know, they've won a World Series. And look, they're sweetening up the deal considering you've never had a healthy season, really. And so that's, I think there's something to be said. Now, Carlos, for that, but Carlos Correa won't see it that way.
No, he won't.
But I think there's something to be said for that.
But like
I said,
the bigger key is, if he walks, will you go out and kick the tires on the other guys out there?
Of course,
Baez,
you have
Story,
to,
and all those guys.
You have to, but the thing is, they still may not, even if they do.
Do you have to?
To kick the tires if Carlos Correa is gone?
Yeah. Or do you just move Bregman from third to short and find some replacement at third base that at least has a decent bat?
I think you do. I mean, you're missing out on some offense. If he stays healthy and he plays this well on other teams, then yeah. I mean, it's necessary. He's come through with some big at-bats.
See, because here's the comparison. Here's what we got to take into consideration too, Nick, and you know I was guilty of this. The fan base is going to, they're actually being tugged by their heartstrings. The same way they loved George Springer and didn't want him to go, Carlos is the emotional leader right now of this team based on the playoffs last year and the way he's come through this year. So people are already spending Jim Crane's money and say, you got to pay him. No matter what he wants, you got to pay him. You really don't. Now, there's people that want you to, and you're going to feel pressure, but you really don't. If he outprices himself, to your point you just made, he's had 1 year, and we're only halfway through it. We're assuming he's going to stay healthy the whole year. But even in years past, it's the second half of the season where he breaks down. It's the second half of the season where his numbers go down. Some have been in fluke injuries where he's gotten hit on the hand or whatever. Others have been weird things with massages at home. Others have been just multiple things that start to parlay because of the fact that he's, you know, playing a lot of innings. But I don't know that anybody's willing to say that he's their guy that they're going to go over $25 million a year for, $30 million a year for, and he's certainly not going to get Tatis or Lindor money.
No.
And on the flip side, for even me to have to say, you know what, maybe I was wrong on Springer, I wanted to keep him. I wanted to keep him at a reasonable price, which they at least started out being in the ballpark. But if you look at the amount of games he's played this year as opposed to being hurt and the numbers he's putting up, they dodged a massive bullet.
Yeah, they did. They did. But Carlos Correa, there's an age factor because he's obviously younger than George Springer, so it works out a little bit more, I think, in Carlos's favor. But still, even despite the fact that he's younger than George Springer, he certainly is more injured than George Springer, at least while they were playing together. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I'd be okay with them sweetening up the deal and giving him a little bit more money, but I just don't think that's a lot more. But see, the good thing is you feel comfortable with them just, no, not more than, they already went up to 25, right?
Yeah.
I would say something between 25 and 30.
If you wait till he gets to the open market, the normal belief is you're going to overpay. So you're going to have to at least broach the $30 million a year range, I would think. He said during the negotiations that the Astros said, we're not doing long-term and we're not doing big bucks. Now that we're out of the pandemic, for the most part, fans are back to 100% in the seats. The revenues streams are coming back. Will Jim Crane and James Click change that philosophy? Or are they adamantly going to stick that way? Because if they stick that way, then people are going to have the hard pill to swallow that he's leaving town.
It probably is, especially if he's just as stubborn as they are in that regard. Like, what if they give him the annual price, right, but they don't give him a long deal?
Does he still say no? He's worth what he thinks he's worth, Nick, and I'm going to stick with what I've said all along. I think 25 a year, I could go that route, and even then, I think that you're taking a gamble because of his track record with injuries. I like what he's done, but he's only done it for half a season this year. He's got another 81 games, and then the playoffs. and then we'll see where he's at. If at the end of the year he earned it by doing what he did, someone's going to give him more money than the Astros.
Yeah, I believe that 100%. I've been saying that all along.
And someone said on the Dusty Baker point, don't forget, he doesn't have a ring. He still wants one. It's a good point. He wants a ring. This is his best chance to get it. He'll probably want to stick around. I don't think it's Dusty wanting to walk away.
No, it's them whether or not they want to keep.
Exactly.
100%.
Exactly. All right, we got another giveaway coming up for the end of the hour, so you might as well stick in for that and a whole lot more as we continue to roll through the third hour of the program. It's the Press Box ESPN.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box as we continue to roll through the final hour of the program. As Nick mentioned, the lineup is in for your Houston Astros for tonight. The other thing that he is mentioning is that the Astros are going to make a roster move later this afternoon. Dusty Baker said, I would think that that's going to be related to one of two things. It looks like Martin Maldonado, aside from getting hit on the hand last night, is also going on the bereavement list. And they said that Garrett Stubbs is in the building, so there's one move.
Okay.
And then depending on what happens with Urquidy, and the medical examinations today, that could subsequently force you to make another move from that perspective. So we'll see what happens there. Other breaking news, the medicals that we're waiting on for Urquidy, we don't have to wait that long for when it comes to one Giannis Antetokounmpo. It looks like it's going to be a matter of how much pain can he play with, and what the situation is going to be based on how he feels and can he go. Because according to Woj, he is saying there is no structural damage to the knee of Giannis.
It was actually according to Zach Lowe, and then Woj confirmed it, basically.
Okay. So
my bet on that.
No, but two experts giving us the opinion. Well, it comes from two sources. That's normally pretty good when they're those guys.
It says there's no structural damage to Giannis Antetokounmpo's left knee after his awkward landing last night in Atlanta. Ligaments are sound, sources tell Zach Lowe, NBA. Timetable to return is unclear. Now, I was asking you in the break, and I said, well, even if it's just a hyperextension and there's no ligaments damage or any tears or anything like that, I still don't think he'll be able to play well. You say he dodged a bullet because if it was the other, if it wasn't a hyperextension.
Instead of hyperextending and going forward, backward, if it went to either side, now at the minimum you're talking about meniscus. And if you're not and you're going to the major, if it really went to one side or the other, you're talking ACL, MCL, and definitely out for the rest of the playoffs. So they dodged a massive bullet there last night. The bigger thing is now going to be, what's his threshold of pain? What's his sense of urgency in terms of some players, as we've seen, just say, well, I can't go tomorrow night. And other players are going to go, you're going to need a stretcher and an army to keep me off the floor. And if I got to wear a brace or do it, I'm going to play. So it's going to be interesting to see.
The way he was limping, though, man, he just, I don't know.
When he walked back out, though, he looked a whole lot better than when he walked off the floor.
Correct. But I think he was more afraid to walk on it when he was walking off the floor. Like, even he wasn't so sure the significance of the damage. He just knew that his pain hurt. You know what I mean?
Like, here's what I would do if I'm the Bucks. I'm suiting him up. You're at home. It's going to jack the crowd up, and it's going to get your players that they always say role players play better at home. You suit him up. You get him out there in warm-ups. One, he tells you how he feels. And two, it gets your crowd jazzed. It gets the rest of the team, like I mentioned, with that Clyde Drexler incident that I lived through when we were on the road in Phoenix. It will get them motivated just having him in the building. And then you go based on how the game goes. If you get what Atlanta got last night and your role players step up and you capitalize on being at home and you start steamrolling the Hawks, don't touch him. But if he gets warm or there's a situation where you need him, and whether you start him or not, when he's on the floor, if it warms up and he starts feeling okay, you play it accordingly. If he doesn't feel right, sit him down. But if he does start warming it up and feeling good, then you got to get everything you can out of him, because once he sits down, it's going to stiffen up, probably not going to be the same player. It's a lot to juggle if you're the Bucks. Like I said, the biggest benefit they have is being at home.
The main thing he can do is, if he continues to suck at the free throw line, which I imagine he will, he can be like, bro, look at this replay. Haven't you seen my knee? It was hyperextended, bro. That's why I'm missing my free throws. It's not because I'm a bad free throw shooter.
Yes, it is.
It's because I hyperextended my knee, and I can't shoot anymore.
You know why? Because he's missed too many free throws prior to tweaking the knee. And again, I remind everybody, that game was out of hand and basically over before he got hurt. They played like dog snot all night long. And they let Atlanta come out of the gates and just absolutely take them to the woodshed. And that's on them. And so after the game, to hear people say the Bucks weren't prepared. Hey, Mike Budenholzer on line one, that's you. Okay. If they weren't motivated and they weren't prepared, that's all coaching. Because otherwise, as far as I know, no one else was hurt. So therefore, you should have seen and heard Trae Young's not going to play tonight and gone, oh man, we're going to step on their throats. We're going to take control of this series, and we're going to make sure we don't have to come back here. Instead, they, like the Astros, when we were talking about them, looked at the level of their competition and went, easy cupcake win for us now. Not so much.
All right, let's get into this one little last NBA topic before we go to break, because I do want to discuss this a little bit. Coming up in the next segment, we'll have a giveaway for you. Also, the lady who caused that massive wreck at the Tour de France is officially arrested. I want to talk a little bit about that. Mm-hmm. But there were a few candidates in regards to the Portland Trail Blazers head coaching position. I think Mike D'Antoni was one of them. Becky Hammon was another. Chauncey Billups obviously was another, and he became the official head coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, and there was a lot of backlash considering a story 20 years ago. This is what Chauncey Billups did right off the top in his presser when he was introduced as the head coach. This is how he addressed the situation.
I just want to, before I even talk about my role, you know, with the team and me being a head coach, you know, I first want to talk about a little bit what Neil talked about, and that's the incident that happened in 1997. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about how every decision that we make could have a profound impact on a person's life. I learned at a very young age as a player, and not only a player, but a young man, a young adult, that every decision, you know, every decision has consequences, you know, and that's led to some really, really healthy but tough conversations that I've had to have with my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time in 1997. And my daughters, about what actually happened and about what they may have to read about me in the news and in the media. But this experience has shaped my life in so many different ways. My decision making, obviously, who I allow to be in my life, the friendships and the relationships that I have, and how I go about them. You know, it's impacted every decision that I make. You know, it really has.
Thoughts, Joel Blank?
It's a sticky situation because I know the PR staff there well. He did that for a reason, Nick. He started the press conference without taking any questions because after that there was rebuttal and someone wanted to ask a question, and one of the PR people as moderator shut it down and said, that's where we're going to end it. At that point, Neil O'Shea, the general manager, stepped in to also state that he and the Blazers had commissioned their own private investigation to try and redig up all the information from 97, and that they felt like, as well as the other teams, if you remember, the Cavaliers were considering him for their general manager position about a year or so ago, and he was up for several other gigs. He was already employed by ESPN, which, if you've got a checkered past, is probably not going to be something that they're going to do.
Of course.
O'Shea said, we felt very comfortable in making this move and knowing that he was never convicted, that everything
settled,
was consensual.
They settled.
Yeah, there was a financial settling.
And
it was done. Yeah, and it was done.
So there's no, we'll never know if anything ever happened. I don't think there was any incidents between that time and now. And so, look, Portland, to their credit, I guess they were okay with dealing with the blowback and the backlash that came along with hiring Chauncey Billups, and most teams would just look the other way. But,
well, and like we said yesterday, is there a better candidate that would have been better for the job? That's what you have to analyze as well, because you obviously, it's one thing to, you have all your bases covered. You have a female, you have an African-American, a male, you have an ancient white man in Mike D'Antoni. So a lot's going to be said about who you pick and why. D'Antoni was a guy that you might want because of his regular season success.
65 wins with the
Rockets.
He knows
how to take one really good superstar and get the most out of him, like Lillard, like Harden. But his playoff record sucks. Chauncey's a proven winner that hasn't proven anything as a head coach. Becky Hammond would be a great story because she'd be the first female head coach in the NBA. But are you willing to give her the reins of a team that needs to win now as opposed to someone that's going to take some lumps while the team takes some lumps and everybody adjusts? I don't know who the right choice was for the Blazers. I don't know that I would have gone with a guy that's never coached as a head coach before, but at least from the standpoint of being in championships and winning and being a point guard, dealing with your best player being a point guard, I can live with Chauncey Billups. So, all right, that's the first half hour, the final hour of the program. We got 30 minutes to go. As Nick said, we got a giveaway to get to. They caught the woman that decided to break up the Tour de France. We need to talk about that. And much along the same lines, Nick, we didn't really touch on this yet, like the Billups story. Trevor Bauer got into a little trouble. And one thing we do know about Trevor Bauer
totally
is
forgot about that.
He likes it rough. We can talk about that also coming up in the final 30 minutes. It's the Press Box ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the program on The Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. Gave you the news of the day. Breaking through a lot of different stories, and obviously the local stories start with the Astros. We gave you that as well. Interesting now, and there's a lot of people obviously rooting against him, but you kind of got to let this whole thing play out before everybody starts passing judgment, pointing fingers, and there's a lot to point at if you're Trevor Bauer. But if you missed it last night, it came out and the story broke that Bauer is facing allegations of assault from a woman stemming from a sexual encounter earlier this year. And part of the reason why I say that, what I said, is because we were covering the Billups situation with the Blazers. The other part is, when you start piecing together some of the details of this story, it's quick to point the finger and judge against Bauer, but let's pad the brakes a little bit, because as the story goes, Pasadena, California Police Department said they allege there's an alleged assault, which they say occurred around the middle of May, and that the case could be turned over to a district attorney's office as soon as Wednesday. And then at that point, a decision would be made on whether it would be moving forward or not. The woman was granted a domestic violence restraining order against Bauer in L.A. County. The attorneys have made statements, including, "Our goal is to keep Mr. Bauer from contacting our client in any way possible. We anticipate there will be criminal action against Mr. Bauer. It's our hope law enforcement will take our client's allegations case seriously." To which Bauer's agent, John Federoff, released a lengthy statement to ESPN denying any wrongdoing, saying that every allegation was baseless, defamatory, and that the sexual relationship was consensual. Some of the details. They have messages that show that the woman repeatedly asked for rough sexual encounters involving requests to be choked out and slapped in the face. In both of their... You're okay with that?
I'm not saying no. I just said okay.
I mean, you just... Okay.
I was just absorbing the information.
You absorb. I'll read. In both of their encounters, the woman drove from San Diego to Mr. Bauer's house in Pasadena, where she went on to dictate what she wanted from him sexually, and he did what was asked. According to Federoff, Bauer and the woman had two encounters, and she continued to message him with friendly and flirtatious banter But after their second encounter, the woman shared photos of herself and indicated to Bauer that she had sought medical attention for a concussion. Bauer responded with concern and confusion. The woman was neither angry nor accusatory.
Okay, well.
And they have the text messages.
That's enough reading of that. I know enough information. There's accusations. They're denying it. Blah, 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 blah. We'll find out what happens. I mean, they've already denied it, said it was baseless and defamatory. That's Bauer's agent. And then, look, they're going to have to go through court. Will this impact his games? I don't know. Maybe if Major League Baseball finds a reason to place any sanctions on him, I'm sure they'll do that. If there's any truth to that, where he forced her to do anything, I think that's very bad. But you never know. You never know with these situations.
I mean, the key is the evidence, right? If you got text messages from the woman, and again, we're hearing that from his side. We got to verify that. But if there are truly text messages in which she brought the encounters on, she asked for and requested.
He's screenshotting all the good ones.
All
the ones that make him look good, for sure. Relaying them to the lawyer.
Major League Baseball is now aware, and they will do their investigation. The Dodgers have also said they're aware, but they're waiting for it all to take shape.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, look, I think he should go through the process. Go through, you know, if he has to go to court, he has to go to court. If there's any criminal charges, I think he should face them. If it's not, and it goes to civil, it'll be very like all those other civil situations, similar to Chauncey Billups, similar to Osuna with the Astros. Mm-hmm. If it's settled and it's sealed, no one will ever know the truth, and that's just the way it is. So
there's that, because that was part of the news cycle that we hadn't got to yet. That huge crash that Nick mentioned that we had talked about on the show at the Tour de France, they finally have caught the woman with the sign that caused it all to go down in a heap. She's a 30-year-old French woman, and she was taken into custody in Brittany, northwest France region, where the Tour de France is held.
They want to make an example out of her, as they should. Now, I saw one story where she could face $35,000 fine, and then I saw another story saying it was a $1,500 euro fine. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't seem very... I guess $35,000 seems a little more... How much... What is 1,500 euros?
I don't know what that translates to.
I don't think it translates to that much.
It said that she is facing charges of involuntarily causing injury and putting the life of others at risk when she stepped out onto the road where the cyclists were driving by to get her cardboard sign visual to television, and therefore causing, as you and I were trying to guess, anywhere from 20 to maybe 50 cyclists to go down in a heap.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, the domino effect was so quick. She hit one cyclist in particular. When he fell to the ground, he lost control first. Fell to the ground, and then I don't know how he's okay. Like, he went to Instagram and kind of sent a message to fans about being more careful. But, like, I felt like the entire, like, everybody on the race was flipping over his ass. I don't know how the hell he survived or didn't get seriously hurt. But 1,500 euros is about $1,700. But the other site that I saw said $35,000, which I feel, what do you think is appropriate?
Well, the Tour's going to sue her, too.
Yeah, because they want to make an example of
her. Yeah, and they're saying because she behaved so badly, they're doing this so that the minority of people that think about this, similar to maybe streakers and other people that jump onto the playing field, but this is where you're not hurting players running out on the field. This one, there's too many of those guys that this is a major event from. This is the biggest event of the year. This is their Super Bowl, and they could have gotten seriously hurt.
You would think there'd be more cameras, though, because apparently they took to, like, social media, and then they started, you know, all the people were intended. They just basically asked, if you have any footage, please relay it to us, as opposed to you would think the Tour de France would have cameras everywhere. Now, I know it's outdoors, so I guess that makes things a bit different, but they literally had to go to the public to locate footage. I don't know if they were able to pinpoint who she was and arrest her because of footage that was provided to them by the public, or if it was something they caught on one of their cameras. But it did take surprisingly long. So I don't know. Do you think jail time is warranted in this situation?
I do.
Because really?
Whether she realized it or not, it wasn't, like I said,
it
like
was,
a streaker,
but it wasn't
situation.
Intentional.
But you know what? But you got to think this thing out better than that, right? Because you know, well, there's no boundaries, there's no snow fences, there's no ways of keeping the fans off the road. And to know that they're coming right by you, and you see a massive, it was one rider, then the guy could swerve possibly, or it would be, but the fact that you took out that many riders and how dangerous it is because they're all packed together, that if one goes down, all of them could actually get seriously hurt.
You think jail time, huh? I think it was unintentional. I don't know. I mean,
oh, Nick.
35,000.
Unintentional.
She didn't mean to cause all that, I don't think. She meant to stick it out because she wanted to get the camera feed on her and get the selfie. You think she should go to jail? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, look, there's hurdles in life. Look, Lance Armstrong was cycling with one testicle for like how many years?
Why's that got to factor in?
I'm just saying, like, sometimes you got to go through hurdles when you're a competitor. That's all I'm saying. Look, I'm kidding, but I'm just saying, like, jail time, you're gonna like, how long? Are we talking months, years? What are we talking here?
I mean, I don't think it's like years. But she's got to learn a lesson from it, and she's got, you know, whatever it takes to have ramifications so you would never do it again, and others would be discouraged from doing it. You got to send the message that if you do this,
and something happens. 2 weeks max.
No, it's got to be a little longer. The fines have to probably be pretty decent. Here's the bigger story. Why is it that 2021 has become the year of the inappropriate fans? Because everywhere we go now, we're talking about fans
just being dumb,
just being stupid asses. From
even
all
the Astros, Yankees, Dodgers,
the fights in the stands, the dumping popcorn on Westbrook, the Kyrie Irving getting hit with a water bottle,
Trace getting spat on,
the soccer player for Team USA getting hit with a bottle. I mean, this with the Tour de France, it's like the whole year. Time Magazine's Idiot of the Year could be the fan, the year of the dumbass fan.
Soccer fans are pretty crazy, and look, your boy Messi, his four-year contract of like $600 or $700 million is expiring. We're talking about these NBA players and MLB players getting max contracts and unbelievable deals. This dude was making over $200 million per year.
Soccer money is ridiculous.
He was making a max contract each year. That's how much money Messi was making. That's ridiculous. God, what do you do with all that money?
Oh, I know completely what I would do. Oh,
I know I would do, but I mean,
why they're calling messing around with Dad said I'm a narc because I agree with throwing people in jail for grass. I didn't say for grass. Dumbass. You probably misheard me. Not for grass. Dumbass. For being a dumbass, you need to learn a lesson, and sometimes that's what it takes. Messing around with Dad.
I wonder if she does get any jail time.
I think it's going to be considered.
Maybe if I was
that
a competitor,
fine is going to be decent.
Maybe if I was a competitor, I'd be just as angry as them and would want her to be in jail for
like a year.
Well,
there's an announcer whose son is a cyclist who's now so outraged that he doesn't want his son to be a professional cyclist and should never consider. With all the people that can get injured in sports, come on, bro. It ain't that serious.
It's not like this is happening every Tour de France.
Right. And why'd you have to bring Lance's grape into it?
I'm just saying. He dealt with deterrents and obstacles in his career.
What was the bigger obstacle? Now that you only got one, which
side
of the bar?
One testicle or a piece of cardboard?
What side of the bar? You only got one. Which side of the bar? Because you know the crossbar on the men's bike.
Oh. See, I didn't know what you were doing there at first.
Well,
now I do. Yeah. I was just joking.
Did we do that second giveaway?
No, we didn't. We owe you guys a giveaway.
Let's do it right now. During the break, caller 10 right now, 713-780-3776.
But what are they winning?
I'm getting it, Nick. My computer's acting up. Well, if you got it, why don't you tell them? Because I'm trying to get to it so that I can get the people to know. What they need to know is they're going to win something if they're caller 10. And the bigger deal is the fact that you have a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see Texas Hill this Saturday, July 3rd at Lagoon Fest. You and three friends, again, win an afternoon pass to the Lagoon. So you can come early, take a dip in the Lagoon, and enjoy the concert. Lagoon Fest Texas, the largest lagoon in Texas, in Texas City. Summer concert series is going all summer long. So there's going to be other chances to win these tickets. Or you can catch the shows by going to LagoonFestTexas.com. But right now, you get a four-pack of tickets to see Texas Hill. If you're caller 10, good luck.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Drinking a German beer with a Cuban cigar in the middle of Paris with a Dominican bar. Great head on her shoulder. She probably studied abroad. She transferred to Harvard from King's College in March.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, Nick Sciarra, I got a question for you since you don't think jail time is necessary for the lady with the sign.
Yeah, I don't think so. Right. Maybe I'm being too nice about the situation.
So God forbid that you ever don't take the necessary precautions and you end up being a dad. Okay?
Okay.
Setting up a hypothetical for you.
Okay?
And you have a daughter. And she's 10. And you find out that she's that while she's getting ready to go to bed, when you walk in to check on her, someone is peeping on her through the window.
Oh.
You shooting him?
Probably, yeah.
You're shooting him?
Yeah, I'll shoot him. I mean, if he's outside, maybe not, because that's dangerous. But I think you can get away with him. As long as he's on your property in Texas, you can put a bullet right...
I get it, but is it worth all that? Is it worth losing someone's life or getting shot and put in danger?
Well, you send a message not to mess with your daughter.
Oh, we're sending messages here, but not there.
Why? What do you mean? Oh, you mean with her going to jail time? You're still a message is being sent if there's some sort of punishment, like a fine. And we're talking about the Tour de France girl. And that particular, as long as there's some sort of punishment. I just said jail time, no. And this, I mean, I might shoot him. I might shoot him. If I know for sure I can get away with it, I might shoot him. Why not? What if he comes back? What if you scare him away, he runs away, then he comes back and does something? Then what?
I want him caught and I want him prosecuted. I don't know that I want to shoot him. But again, then it becomes, what's the punishment so that he learns a lesson to never do it again? This happened in Houston, in Harris County, where the Harris County Sheriff's Office say the homeowner shot a man suspected of peeping and inappropriately touching himself outside his 10-year-old daughter's window. It happened on the 15,000 block of West Little York in northwest Harris County early Monday morning. She looks over at the window, and this guy is at her window, the girl's mother, who doesn't want to be identified, told KPRC Channel 2. I can say that he tried to take my daughter's innocence away, but I'll say he took my daughter's innocence away. Now, he didn't touch your daughter.
He was just a peeper.
Well, and a puller, I guess. Because he was actually touching himself, evidently, through the story.
I mean, I think I might hurt you. I might hurt you.
So the daughter, I would apprehend the dude and make sure that he was going to jail.
You're going to apprehend the guy how? What if he's stronger? What if he's like a black belt in jiu-jitsu? What if he has a boxing history? What if he's got good stamina? What if he's really good at getting away? What if he does this all the time and he has good practice as being a keeper and running away?
Yeah, I want to put an end to it. I want to put a stop to it. I just don't know that I'd go to the level of shooting the guy. And you're right. In Texas especially, once he does what he's done, you have a right to protect your premises. And I would think that whoever, the father that shot him, is probably not going to do jail time.
See, now, let's say you don't get him. Let's say you don't apprehend him. Now it's at the back of your mind. You got a peeper that pulls up to your daughter's bedroom. Not about that life.
And it's a good point. Like, if he got away, you'd think, well, is he coming back? And also, you don't want him to do it to anybody else.
Look. Tell the guy, look, I'm going to shoot you, but listen, it could be a lot worse. You could owe me millions of dollars like the peeper who did it to, what's her name, Aaron Andrews?
Aaron Andrews, yeah.
All right? So mm-hmm. Do you want to die or do you want to play millions of dollars? Like, what do you want to do, buddy?
So as the story goes, the mother heard the daughter scream. She and her husband rushed out of the house with guns to confront the man as they are both licensed handgun carriers. I'm literally saying, you're not going anywhere, the mother said as she described how it went down. The couple followed the man to the Valero gas station across the street as the 10-year-old's father went inside to tell the clerk to call 911. His wife stayed outside with the suspect. He's wrestling with me, with my gun. And I'm like, I'm not going to let you get my gun.
Oh.
You're not going to kill or shoot me. My husband just said he heard a caca. And by that time, the guy had already grabbed me, got my gun, and pulled it on myself. Now, if that's the case, I'm shooting.
That's crazy. And I think I don't even know why I'm talking about it, but they've relieved the the deterrence in getting the gun in Texas now. I think you can basically...
You don't have to... Yeah.
I don't think you have to be... You can be a felon even, I think.
Yeah, you don't have to... I believe they altered the rules so you don't have to have a license to carry.
I don't know. Maybe I'm the aggressive guy. I would probably try and shoot the guy. But you never know what you're going to do when you're in the moment. Like, I'm saying I would shoot the guy if that's the case, but maybe in the moment I don't. So who knows?
So they, at the end of the story, it kind of sums up where we are, because it said, we didn't want this guy to get shot, said the parents. We were waiting for police to detain him because I'm pretty sure if he did this to my child, he's going to do it to a lot of children out there. We are praying for the suspect. We are also praying for his family. The suspect is in critical but stable condition, and the case is going to be referred to a grand jury.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be in trouble, as he should be.
Yeah, damn well should
be. If you're a peeper, you deserve to go to jail, buddy. That's just the way it goes.
If he was just caught peeping, I wouldn't have shot him. But now, with the details of he's trying to get the wife's gun and wrestling around while the father is... First of all, why wouldn't the father stay with the suspect and the wife go in to tell the clerk?
Yeah, I didn't understand that. That's why I want to read the whole story. I didn't understand that.
That's what I would have done, because then there is no chance of, you know, if he's going to wrestle, then he's going to get what he deserves. Otherwise, you just realize you're done, buddy. You just sit there and wait.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, the other thing is that I don't know about the story is, because a lot of people say people who act like this are like repeat offenders. Mm-hmm. Has he ever been caught? Is he registered as a sex offender? Because if that's the case, then I really am shooting him. But obviously you don't know that in the moment, right?
You don't know. Yeah.
When someone's peeping up on in a bedroom on your house that guy has done it before as a sex offender. So, and someone's telling, or Lamont's telling me felons can't get guns, but they did alter the rules in terms of leniency, right? What is it? They've done something in terms of being more lenient about getting a gun. But I think you're right. Felons can't get guns.
Okay.
Because I know someone who's not my friend that's a felon.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can get a gun.
which is probably a good thing. But, you know, there's a lot of people sticking up for the lady with the sign.
They're sticking up. No, I'm sticking up in terms of not giving her jail time, but punishing her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I can see that.
Here's the thing. If no one gets hurt in the process, I get it. But the fact that you're talking about, and I go more, I tend to go higher numbers than you. Based on that pileup, it looked like there were like 100 cyclists. And some of them, and this is their careers. And you're talking about possible career-ending injuries with broken collarbones and legs and things in a sport that this is their Super Bowl. So if it's just that she's flashed a sign on TV and got in the way of a biker, but that no harm, no foul, then fine. You prosecute her or not, give her a fine. But because she did it at a time and she knew that how many bicyclists were there, and this could possibly, she had to think it could possibly happen if she goes on the road, that's why she's got to be punished further, in my mind.
Well, look, I said a month maximum. I said, what, 2 weeks to a month is what I said? You say what?
I mean, at least a couple months.
A couple.
90 days. How about 90 days?
So really, when you think about it, we're not too far apart in terms of our mentality. You just think there should be jail time. I think there should be very minimal, possibly no jail time.
And I'm basing it on circumstance because of the numerous people that got hurt.
Because what if it's a really bad injury? What if it's like a Paul George type of Chris Weidman type of injury? What if she caused the pileup to where, like, it's a clean break and that guy can never be a cyclist the way he... Okay, I can understand. You know what I mean? Like, it's career altering, which when I saw the pileup, I'm like, that looks like that should be some career-altering stuff. I don't see how bones are not broken all over the place. But I didn't look at the list of injuries, you know?
Yeah, and when you're talking about this is their career, man. I mean, you know what?
Kobo's Q is very he doesn't agree with everything I say, Kobo's Q, but he was definitely in agreement with me. Shoot that dude on sight, he says.
Oh, and then you have that.
This is Texas.
Yes, it is. God bless Texas. And God bless another episode of the Press Box. We're done. The Blitz is coming up next. You guys got lots more to get to. As you listen to them, Fred, AJ, Aaron, they're going to take you from 4 to 7. You got to do nothing but just keep it right where you're at and enjoy the ride. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Nick, me, you. Hey, it's a match made somewhere. We'll enjoy it. You guys enjoy your evening. Talk to you tomorrow. That ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpiece. Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.